Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe P. Zapia, and today we're going to take a look at the early running back ranks and tiers. That's right, we're going 30 deep on the running backs. We're going to take a look at the Fantasy Pros expert consensus rankings, and then how our experts here, the one and only Derek Brown, D-Bro, the King of Bros, Andrew Erickson, Mr. Big Pod Energy, where they differ from the ECR, where they differ from each other. And I can tell you, this is going to be a hot show. Because I love Derek Brown. I love his beard. I love his hat. I love everything about him. I hate his running back ranks. And now he's forcing me to go on to Team Erickson's side, which is really upsetting to me in the first place. Just that notion. So this is going to be a hot show. You're going to want to watch this one. I'm telling you, you're going to want to watch on our YouTube channel, especially because you're going to see where these tiers are. And that visual always helps. So subscribe to our YouTube channel. Again, Fantasy Pros. Over on YouTube, youtube.com/fantasypros, and click that bell till it goes ding for notifications. Gentlemen, let's kick it off here with the elite tier on the ECR. There's only four names on that S tier, that top of the top grouping. Christian McCaffrey up at the top, Austin Eckler and half PPR at two, Jonathan Taylor at three, Saquon Barkley at four. Obviously, I'm already annoyed because Bijan Robinson isn't in that ECR tier yet, and I want to emphasize yet. Now, looking at this group, it's not that different from what the boys have. As you can see on the S tier, you've got your usual suspects here, but I want to start with you, Derek Brown, because you're putting Tony Pollard all the way at the top of the pops here.
Yeah, I'm right.
And we got to talk about this because he is your number one RB, or am I having a stroke?
Nope, you're not having a stroke. I'm actually kind of, I'm happy and delighted that that Joey P proved to me that he can read it, man. I'm super happy about this. So
I've been taking lessons. I've been taking extra schooling, tutoring after the show.
Oh man,
I'm hooked on phonics, and I'm hooked on why you have Tony Pollard, who I love, and I loved last year. How is he the RB1? Is this just to troll me? Like, what are you doing here?
No, man, Tony Pollard is the truth. How could anybody not sit here and love Tony Pollard? We want a path to elite upside via rushing and receiving. How does Tony Pollard not have that, man? Like last year, RB8 in fantasy points per game. This is while he only had a 50% snap share and he didn't even get 50% of the opportunities in this backfield. And he was a top 10 back. Now you're telling me this year, right now, he's got competition from Ronald Jones. Ew. Hell no. Malik Davis. No. Rico Dowdle, who I love in Dynasty, but no. Who the hell is he going to fight with for touches? And don't come at me with, oh, they might re-sign Ezekiel Elliott. Right now, when we are recording this show, Ezekiel Elliott is not on this depth chart.
Okay, what if he is? What if that happens? Then what happens to Tony Pollard in your ranks? Because he is RB8 right now on Fantasy Pros in the rankings. Again, if you want to see it, fantasypros.com/rankings, that's where you can look along here. So if that does happen and Zeke comes back on a cushy little small deal, where does Tony Pollard end up?
Top five. He's not dropping out outside of my top five.
Okay, well, that's fair.
Ahead of consensus on him. And the other part about this is I feel like we're having a revisiting of you. Go back in time with me, guys. Wasn't there a time when we were like, man, you know, I don't know if Austin Eckler gets enough work. Man, you know, I don't know if Austin Eckler gets the red zone carries, the goal line carries. I feel like we're dealing with a lot of the same things with Tony Pollard. Like, we haven't seen him own a backfield. Oh, Zeke is still a free agent because, well, Zeke sucks. Tony Pollard last year was top 15 in red zone touchdown conversion rate. He was good when they gave him red zone opportunities. Now we're saying he's going to get a bump in work. How much is to be determined? But we've already got a sample that says that this dude is elite, regardless of whatever metric you pull up for him.
All right. He is 8, Erickson. You got him at 10, Tony Pollard. So you're on the other end of the spectrum. And look, this is a guy that I drafted everywhere last year because the price was just impeccable. It was such a good return on investment. You could see where that worm was going to turn in this backfield. Now, you've been very patient here, waiting your time, Erickson. Talk to me about Tony Pollard on the other end of the spectrum, because obviously you see something that Derrick Brown doesn't, nor the UCR.
Well, it goes to the fact that he's never been a featured back. Like, he's never had 200 carries in a season. So you're going to rank a guy RB1 and you don't think he can get 200 carries. Like, that's the thing with me. With
Tony Pollard, I think that
from an efficiency standpoint, yeah, he's going to be efficient like he's always been. But at the same time, okay, if he's going to get more volume, do you think his efficiency is going to stay the same? Those things don't necessarily correlate. When you get more volume, your efficiency usually goes down. There's a reason why Pollard's been super efficient, because he's had limited touches. It's a lot easier to be good on a per touch basis when you're not touching the ball 300 times.
That is a good point.
You're not being subjected to the in-between the tackles types of running that Zeke Elliott was getting. Tony Pollard is getting the runs into space, the pass out of the backfield. Like, it was advantageous of him in the role that he was playing. And I mean, Debo, do you really think they're not going to add another running back? Like, they are.
Possible.
Well, yeah, the fact that the running backs that you listed that are alive in Dallas right now scream to me that they're going to add somebody else. I think
it's
all
possible. The other side of this is we don't know how much they like Malik Davis. We've seen backfields like think about the Chargers last year. It's like, okay, they're going to go into week one with Joshua Kelly and Isaiah Spiller behind Austin Eckler. We all said, oh, you know, that's not that great. Well, Dallas has had these guys on the roster. I'm not going to rule out that Jerry and Mike McCarthy like Malik Davis and Rico Dowdle more than we do.
All right. Well, look, I'm excited about Tony Pollard, but I don't think anyone is excited about Tony Pollard the way Derrick Brown is excited about Tony Pollard. Now, I'm excited about Bijan Robinson, and thank goodness Erickson, the level-headed person that you are today, has him ranked at number 2 overall. That is acceptable to me. I know not everybody want to put him 1. I want to put him 1, but Erickson, you've got him up at 2. The ECR doesn't have him in the top 5 in that S rank. So why is he elite for you?
I just can't find a lot of holes to poke in his game. You know, when I rank running backs, a lot of the time I'm not necessarily looking for, okay, he's my number 1 running back. He has the highest chance of finishing number 1 overall. There is some credence to being looking at a player and saying, this guy has the highest probability of finishing top 5, which is why I have him ranked 2nd, or finishing inside the top 3. Because if you look back at one of the best running backs in fantasy was Adrian Peterson. He like almost never finished as RB1, but he was ranked as RB1 every year because he was always going to finish as a top 3 running back if he stayed healthy. But for some reason, there was always another running back that would always finish just ahead of him. Now, that could be the case with Bijan. You know, he may not finish as the RB1 overall. He probably won't, but I just feel so good about
I don't think his you say talent, probably won't.
His role. I mean, I just don't think he's going to catch enough passes to put him as the RB1.
I think you're going to be surprised how many he catches. Whenever you have a quarterback that you're concerned with, the check down Charlie all of a sudden starts to show up there. And I would be shocked if he underperformed there to a lot of the expectations. I really do. And I've said this now numerous times. If you go back and look at Saquon's rookie season, he was RB2. He was only behind Todd Gurley in his 5 million touchdowns. If you look at Zeke's rookie season, he was RB2 overall in fantasy. There's no reason to, and people say, well, the Falcons are a terrible offense. The Giants, the year that Saquon Barkley was a rookie, they won 5 games. Don't tell me about how bad that Giant team was, because they were terrible.
But Joe, Eli Manning was tossing passes. They could
he's
that
a Hall of Famer.
Right?
Like, so that goes without saying. All right, let's get to another guy here who that you have, Debro, in your S tier, your super elite grouping here is Breece Hall. Now, I understand why, because he showed you that he can be that guy. But considering the ACL injury here, and considering now that you do have a team that's probably going to want to throw the ball significantly more than they have in the last few years because they have an actual quarterback in Aaron Rodgers, how does this all affect Breece Hall? And do you think this Breece Hall ranking is just a little too high?
I don't think it's too high in the sense that I want people above consensus on Breece Hall. Breece Hall is a low-end RB1 for a lot of different people. If you're doing early best ball drafts and early redraft, I want you above consensus on Breece, because everything that, for people that are smarter about injuries than I am, have said that at right now, they're not concerned about Breece. Simple tear of his ACL versus what Javonte what happened to Javonte or J.K. Dobbins. So right now, I'm projecting that Breece is going to be ready to roll week one. Maybe he splits a little bit of the work, but he takes over the backfield within the first month of the season, man. And what we saw at a Breece Hall last year, you can't point to any metric on the ground that he was not top three in. And now we actually get competent quarterback play, and we could say whatever we want about the level of said quarterback play from Aaron Rodgers. But what is going to happen in that backfield and this offense is we're not going to get stacked boxes now. Breece Hall, when he was on the field last year, saw the sixth highest average number of defenders in the box. You look at Aaron Jones, what he's had to face over the last few years with Aaron Rodgers under center, 54th, 47th, 39th. So now we're telling me, now we're talking about Breece Hall, top three efficiency running back in the NFL last year. The health is not a concern. The offensive line can play better because they played terrible last year. I think they have nowhere to go but up. Aaron Rodgers is in town, so lighter boxes. Yeah, that's a bet I want to make.
Okay, that is a good argument. That is a cogent, very solid argument. It's nice to see you again, Derek.
I have my moments.
You were during the Tony Pollard segment, but it's nice that you're back. All right, let's get to this other take here on the other end here, because nobody was higher on Breece Hall last year than Andrew Erickson. To your credit, Andrew, you crushed this one. You were all over Breece Hall. You have him as the first guy in your A tier. Interestingly enough, if you go on the ECR, the A tier is Bijan at number five overall, then Josh Jacobs, Nick Chubb, Tony Pollard, Derrick Henry, all guys coming off, you know, either good seasons with Pollard and Josh Jacobs, or guys with high expectations or track record like Derrick Henry. You got to go all the way to number 11 at Breece Hall. He is in the B tier in terms of where the ECR has him. Ramondre's at 10, Breece is at 11. So you are a little bit closer to where the ECR is, but I know you love Breece Hall. So Andrew, do you think that as time goes by, you're going to end up moving him up closer to where Derrick has him?
Well, the only reason I don't have him in the S tier is because of the injury. You know, I'm trying to stay consistent. That's like why I didn't have Cooper Kupp in my S tier wide receivers, because of the injury concerns with him coming off an injury and Matthew Stafford. Right. So I was trying to be consistent with, look, Breece Hall, like if we get more information, if I learn more about his injury and I can see him play during the or whatever, if I can get more confirmation about his current health in real time, then yeah, he's going to move into the S tier. Cause I think from a talent standpoint, he's going to be in there. Like I struggled trying to rank him, but looking back at what I did with wide receivers, I was trying to stay consistent. So that's why I put him at the top of the A tier. Again, I still want to be over consensus on Breece Hall. I mean, you can draft him in some of these best ball drafts in the fourth round as your RB1. And to think you can draft two stud receivers and then draft Breece Hall as your hero running back, if he's healthy, your team is going to dominate in with that particular build. So yes, you want to continue to draft Breece Hall.
Yeah. And look, right now, some of these early ADPs you got going on in some of these places, like in the FFPC Fantasy Bros Championship, you know, Breece Hall, you're getting some value on still. The later you draft in that, the better chance you're going to miss out on that value. So if you're going to, I strongly suggest that you get on that earlier than later and you head over to fantasypros.com/championship, because that's the place to be, and use that promo code FantasyPros when you go ahead and sign up. And if you draft early, like I'm talking about, to get these values on some of these guys like Breece Hall and maybe Bijan too, you get an extra $35 early bird credit if you sign up by June 1 and you draft by June 15th. So again, $1 million first prize. And we're also giving away a bunch of Fantasy Pros, Betting Pros, premium subs. So go get on that. Go get on that early value.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up. Picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair plugs. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean like John Cena got it. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. you think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nick Chubb is at 7 overall. And I got to talk, because this is another player that, you know, big differences in terms of what everybody thinks of them here at this table. So the ECR is at 7. They have him in the A tier. If you look at the rankings for Andrew Erickson, you have him as the number 3 RB overall. And you can argue he is the best pure running back in the NFL right now. Like, I'll listen to that argument for sure. And ironically, when you've got him, Derek, you've got Nick Chubb all the way in the A tier. So it's kind of all over the place between the two of you and the expert consensus. Andrew, talk about the very high ranking of Nick Chubb. Is it just a simple fact of, hey, you're buying into this Browns offense year over year being much improved, and all of a sudden you put Deshaun Watson top 5 rebound season in there, and Nick Chubb all of a sudden becomes a huge beneficiary of it?
I mean, it's a combination of the upside, I think, that Nick Chubb has this year that he hasn't had in past years. When you look at, okay, we can finally see him unlocked more as a receiver out of the backfield. Kareem Hunt is not there on the team. They have Jerome Ford there. He's not an established backup. He hasn't done anything at the NFL level that would suggest, oh, well, he's going to take on Kareem Hunt's role. Not necessarily the case. I mean, Nick Chubb had the quietest 1,500 rushing yard season last year that no one seems to care
every
about.
Every year, nobody seems to care about Nick Chubb.
He's rushed for 5 yards per carry, while also averaging like 200 plus carries every single season. So I'm just trying to poke holes. Where's Nick Chubb? Like, where's his flaw? Like, how does he fail? Last year, he was RB6 with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback. It was only until Deshaun Watson came back that Nick Chubb started to struggle on the ground. I think Deshaun Watson's going to bounce back. I think with Deshaun Watson, it's going to be a top 10 offense. And what does that mean? Touchdown opportunities. Nick Chubb could score 15 touchdowns, rush for 1,500 yards, and have a career high in receptions and targets. So that's why he's a top 3 running back for me, because even if he doesn't do all those things, oh no, he finished as RB8. What a horrible pick. But now you have this untapped potential of upside that he's never had in a lot of these past seasons. So I think that Nick Chubb is like the perfect pick. I just don't see where you pick him like, oh, I drafted Nick Chubb in the second round. It was a horrible pick. It was a disaster.
Oh, I love him in the second round. If you give me Chubb in the second round, forget it. And I'm the president of the Chubb Club. Everybody knows that at Fantasy Pros, that I am the first president of the Chubb Club.
Imagine I wearing your t-shirt.
Yeah. They told me I can't wear it on air. I don't know why. Now, Derek Brown, to use your logic against you, which you know is my favorite thing to do, Nick Chubb behind him, we've got Jerome Ford. We've got Demetric Felton. We've got John Kelly. So why are you sour on Nick Chubb? Because ain't nobody around that I'm worried about.
How am I sour on him? He's already 11.
He's RB 11.
You're not going to get him at RB 11.
You're not exactly.
In a lot of different drafts, I have no problem with going with Nick Chubb as like a hero RB if you go wide receivers and he falls down the board a little bit. The other thing about it is I don't know if he's as locked into being where he's been in previous seasons from an ADP standpoint, because not everybody's as high on Deshaun Watson bouncing back, including myself, as Erickson is. So I think that some of that, considering, because the lasting taste that we had in our mouth from this Cleveland Browns offense last year was, oh, good Lord, Deshaun Watson sucks. Nick Chubb was rattling off 100-yard games, and then Deshaun Watson came back, and they were all go poof, they were out the window. And I'm not far off of where Nick Chubb, yes, he was RB6 last year. He's been RB10 in two of the last 4 years. So me putting him at RB11 is not throwing shade at Nick Chubb. But we haven't seen a massive pass game role for Nick Chubb ever. I'm not going to rule out that Jerome Ford is not going to factor into that backfield. I mean, Kareem Hunt, as bad as he was last year, and he was really bad, he still had a role in this backfield. So if Jerome Ford is better than Kareem Hunt, and I don't think that takes a lot of like mental hurdles to sit here and get to that point this year, then if the Browns are saying, we do not want Nick Chubb getting more than that 300 carries, because he got 300 freaking carries last year. Is he going to get more than that? Is he going to go Derrick Henry? I don't think so. I think this team does not want to run him into the ground. Him eclipsing that type of workload or getting a higher pass game workload, those are things that I just feel like we're splitting hairs, and it really is trying to thread the needle to expect those things to happen.
So you're not going to draft Nick Chubb because of Jerome Ford.
I never said I wasn't going to draft Nick Chubb.
But you're not going to get him an RB11. Like, that's the thing.
I just laid the case out, Erickson. People are not all in on the Browns offense like you are.
How good has the Browns offense been the entire time Nick Chubb has been there? How good has the Browns offense ever been?
How was the offense when Deshaun Watson, their current quarterback, is?
How was it then? Nick Chubb has shown us that he is QB proof, that he's going to be a top 10 running back no matter what. But now you have the opportunity with Deshaun Watson. If he returns to elite status, Nick Chubb can be a top 3 running back.
Top three? Top three with no pass catching?
What do you mean? What do you mean no pass catching? How many more?
Hold on. Wait, guys. Hot take here. I think the perfect place is where the ECR has him at 7, because I think that splits the difference of all of your potential upside, Erickson, that you're laying out there, which I'm trying to buy into, and I'm slowly getting there. And then all of the realizations that Derek Brown is throwing some cold water on, like, you know, what if it looks a lot like it did in December for the Cleveland Browns offense? That would certainly be a huge bummer. But this is a good conversation. A lot of other running backs to get to, including Ramondre Stevenson, who you are very high on, Derek Brown. You have him as the RB3. Damn again, right. I didn't think anybody could love Breece Hall and Ramondre Stevenson more than Andrew Erickson. Yet here we sit. I don't know if you've done too many shows together last year. I don't know what's going on here. But talk about, I understand the Patriots are going to be a run first offense. So is this your feeling that Bill O'Brien gets this offense back to being at least respectable? Because from a scoring standpoint, they certainly weren't. And I think we can all understand that if you go back historically and look at Bill O'Brien, not listen, but look at what he did on the field, he goes with certain running backs, and that's the guy. So why don't I hear about this? Yeah, we like all of our running backs nonsense, because I've heard that story, but the data does not prove that out at all.
Exactly. All we hear is narrative street. Well, Bill has never done this with running backs. Blah, 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 blah. What did he do with Ramondre last year? He used him as an every down workhorse in a bad, horrible, terrible offense. He was featured. What do we have this year? This offense is going to be better than it was last year. I don't think that should not be earth-shattering news. Two defensive-minded coaches that are total morons trying to run an offense versus Bill O'Brien running an offense is not a huge intuitive leap that, oh, look at that. Holy crap. They're going to be better. Bill O'Brien has loved using one running back throughout his tenure. In Houston, you can go back to Lamar Miller days. You can go look at Carlos Hyde. Every single freaking time, the last 5 years I went back, every one of his running backs have gotten at least a 60% opportunity share. Some of those guys have gotten up to 73% if they could work in the passing game. So you're telling me that Bill O'Brien is going to probably at his floor give Ramondre Stevenson, who over the last 2 years has been one of the most efficient running backs through the air and on the ground, and he's going to get that type of opportunity in a better offense with still, even if you take Mac Jones out of the equation, you put Bailey Zappe under center, neither one of those dudes can run. They're going to check the ball down. And what is the great pass catcher that we're talking about is going to steal targets away from Ramondre? Who's that? Devontae Parker? Tyquan Thornton? These are your heroes? Hell no.
Kayshon Booty.
Oh, Booty. Good Lord.
Booty. All right.
Yeah, he is Booty.
Now, you've got him in your S tier still, so I don't want to, you know, let's not belabor Ramondre Stevenson love. Maybe. I just wanted to elaborate and expand upon the infatuation of Ramondre Stevenson and Derrick Brown together. What's interesting enough is that he is in the B tier to start. So he's not even, you guys have him as S's. You've got him all the way up near the top, D-Bro. And then when you look at the B tier over on the Fantasy Bros ECR, you got Ramondre at 10, Breece Hall at 11, who we already talked about, Travis Etienne, Najee Harris at 13, Ken Walker at 14, Aaron Jones at 15. This is an interesting spot because we already have basically highlighted two guys in Stevenson and Hall that we think are going to well outperform this ADP. And then there's some other ones like Travis Etienne, who I think are a little bit more, I would say, you know, the dividing line is much deeper on, because D-Bro, you've got him as a B tier, as basically an RB2, whereas Erickson, you've still got him closer to where ECR is as an A tier guy. So Erickson, let's talk about Etienne, who has dealt with some injuries. Obviously, the first year was a bust. Last year looked much better. But last year was really his rookie season, and we saw the Jags make enormous improvements year over year. So are you just buying into the overall improvements of this offense to carry and hold? And you saw enough last year with Etienne where you think there's even more room to grow?
Yeah. I mean, when you look at what Etienne did basically in his pseudo rookie season, I mean, his numbers look exactly like Jonathan Taylor from Jonathan Taylor's first 2 years in the NFL. And I think that what people are overlooking with Etienne, at least the way I view it, is they're just disappointed because, oh, he didn't catch enough passes. Like, why wasn't he used more in the passing game? And I've been harping on this point often on a lot of these shows when I talk about Travis Etienne, which because you don't coordinate running back targets when all your skill players are healthy. Why do you think Austin Ekeler caught so many passes last year? Because all the receivers were hurt. Why did Ramondre Stevenson catch so many passes last year? Because all the receivers were hurt or sucked. Like, when all of the Jacksonville Jaguars receivers and tight ends are all healthy, the offensive coordinator is not going to scheme up plays for Trevor Lawrence to dump the ball off to Travis Etienne. That doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you do that? You have Kirk, you have Evan Ingram, you have Zay Jones. Like, those are going to create more expected points on a per pass basis. So that's where the ball is going to go. So with Etienne, everyone was disappointed by his pass game role when the fact that they're overlooked at, oh, he was like top five in most running back efficiency metrics. He rushed the ball over 200 times. He was a workhorse once they traded away James Robinson. And it's like, oh, RB12. It's like, wait, what? He's on an ascending offense and he is massively overdue for touchdown regression. There are so many plays you can, in my mind, like replays where Etienne dropped the ball at the 1 yard line or he gets stuffed at the 1 yard line. It's like, if he converts some of those touchdowns, we're looking at him way differently. And I want to be part of an offense that people are buying. It seems like everyone who wants a piece of the Jags except Travis Etienne. And I'm like, if he's the workhorse, then why are we not liking him more? So,
well, he's not going to get more targets for the receivers, but Calvin Ridley now in town.
Well, so no, D-Bro, you don't necessarily know that. It's one guy.
I think I do know that.
No, but is Calvin Ridley taking away targets from Zay Jones? They're not operating the same area of the field.
Yes.
What I'm looking at specifically is, look at Evan Ingram. Evan Ingram has been a guy that's been hurt all the time. Where do tight ends operate on the field? At the intermediate to short level. That's the overlap. And Evan Ingram stayed healthy all of last year. Like, do you think that's going to happen again? If it doesn't happen again, Etienne's going to catch more passes because Evan Ingram's not on the field of backing him up short targets.
It's an interesting argument for. So let's go to the other side. Derrick Brown, who does not seem to like Travis Etienne in his rankings. So why, D-Bro? Why?
It's the same situation as Kenneth Walker. They drafted a guy in the third round.
No, Tank Bigsby's different from Zach Charbonnet. Third round or second round is not the same thing.
I agree. And I don't think Tank Bigsby is anything close to the running back Zach Charbonnet.
That's not the same thing. It's not the same draft guy.
I think D-Bro knows that in his heart of hearts.
So we're going to
shape. You're a Charbonnet guy. I've done enough draft shows with you, D-Bro, to know you're a Charbonnet guy.
Okay. So we're going to shade a guy that was top 15 in yards of contact per attempt and PFF elusive rating over the in two of the last three seasons. We're going to shade that guy who just arrived in Jacksonville. He's a north-south runner. And Travis Etienne, for everything that Erickson is talking about, touchdown regression. The other side of this is maybe Travis Etienne is just a bad goal line back. He was 57th out of 65 running backs in red zone touchdown conversion rate. We could talk about that being unlucky. We can also talk about that being part of Etienne's running style. He's not a hard runner. He's a runway back. He relies on speed. He's not a tackle breaker as he is so much an elusive back because of his speed to get around the edge and outrun people. So I think it's telling when Jacksonville brought back Jamichael Hasty. They had trust in him, and they signed D'Ernest Johnson, and they still felt the need to bring in a back like Tank Bigsby in the third round. He's going to factor into this backfield, and I want to sit here and throw the flip side back to Erickson. In the conversation and the argument you're making for ETN being a better pass catcher or getting more pass game work, what happens, Erickson, if Jacksonville stays healthy again? What happens if that help happens?
It's not going
Travis
to.
ETN, it's not. Okay, so 100%, definitively not going to happen. They're all going to get hurt,
because
right?
They were the healthiest team last year. Would you bet, if you had to make a bet on, oh yeah, the team that stayed healthy
that
last
is an
year will also
point.
Be the healthiest team again for two straight
that
years?
Never, I'm not asking you to be
the healthiest.
It's going to regret.
Zay Jones can get hurt. Appears. Evan Engram can get hurt. Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk can still mean less targets for ETN.
You know what's fascinating too? That you've got Tank Bigsby in your top 50 here. Oh, your top 30 rather, excuse me. Erickson doesn't have him at all in his top 30.
Yeah, because he's not that great. And, you know, when D-Bro's talking about him being top 15, it's because he wasn't good enough to be in the top 10. That's why he says top 15.
Oh, good Lord. Come on.
Oh, Lord. All right, let's go to the next one here, because this is fun. This is the best time I'm going to have all week, I can tell you right now. This is great. I could do this for 3 hours. We won't, but I could.
Oh, right, I was like, we can.
No. That's for Discord. That's when you join the Discord on the chat. And then when you join Fast Bros Discord, you get these conversations
that's what's
unfiltered.
A professional transition.
So that's right. let's talk a little about Cam Akers, another guy that is a big difference here in terms of where you guys have him, where the ECR has him. Because if you look in this next tier here, where you start to drop down. So we did the S, we did the A, we did the B. So in the C tier right now on the ECR, you've got Dalvin Cook. You've got Jahmyr Gibbs at 17, which is, I think the three of us all agree that's a steal there. Like, that's crazy. That's not going to hold. Again, early FFPC, Fantasy Pros Championship drafts. You better be drafting him if that's where he's going. J.K. Dobbins, Joe Mixon, who we're going to talk about in a second, Miles Sanders, Damian Pierce, Cam Akers, James Conner, Rashad White, Isaiah Pacheco. There's a lot of guys in this list that are different here with your rankings. Cam Akers is the first one because you continue to be very pro Cam Akers, D-Bro. Erickson, not so much. Erickson's got him in tier B. You've got him in tier A. Erickson, let's talk about Cam Akers here for a second. Let's let you be negative first and see if D-Bro can pull this out of the tailspin. So why are you negative on Cam Akers? When, if you do look at when he was given the touches and committed to, the performances were pretty good last year to close out the season.
Well, where's Cam Akers in terms of ECR?
Cam Akers in terms of ECR is RB22 in half PPR.
I'm pretty sure that's where I have him ranked. Like in, I'm not low on Cam Akers.
You're not low, so you're just consensus. Yeah. That's fine. So D-Bro, you are much higher, obviously.
No, I have Cam Akers at RB19. Yeah.
Okay, so you like him a little more than ECR, but no one can like him as much as Derek Brown.
That's fair.
So Derek Brown, why do you like him so much?
I mean, we saw that last year inside of a broken offense, he was an RB1. Like weeks 13 through 18, he was the RB6 in fantasy points per game.
But it's not going to be a broken offense this year,
exactly.
Theoretically, if they stay healthy.
Exactly. It's not going to be a broken offense. So we're going to have a more efficient offense. We're going to have more scoring opportunities. And when Cam Akers was given this workhorse role, or actually, you know what, earned the workhorse role, weeks 13 through 18, he had 72% or higher of the snaps. Only one time did he not do that. He averaged 19 touches per game, and he got 100% of the carries inside the 10-yard line for the Rams. So when the Rams get inside the 10, and we're saying, okay, the offense is going to be better than it was last year, although last year in this same role, we saw Akers perform as an RB1, better offense, he gets all the goal line work, and yet people are like, yeah, but I've been burned by Cam Akers so much. I just don't know what I'm going to do. But we like Cooper Kupp. He's a definitive top five wide receiver. So we believe that he bounces back, but somehow the offense sucks besides that. And it feels like people are cherry picking what they want to believe in.
Well, in all fairness, there's a blueprint for that narrative. Because if you go back and look at the blueprint of that narrative when, you know, Cooper Kupp was lighting it up and they went to the Super Bowl that year, it wasn't like that backfield was, you know, incredibly fruitful in fantasy. It wasn't.
Well, it's probably good. I mean, a lot of that has to do with the fact that Daryl Henderson is terrible.
It was Daryl Henderson. It was Malcolm Brown. And it was Cam Akers, who was also there. He was in that mix as well. So interesting conversation to have.
Cam was coming back from the Achilles. It was a totally different situation, too.
I understand, but, you know, it's still one of those things. So when you have in this tier Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon, what's so interesting is that you've got them in the B tier. So Debro's got back-to-back Cook over Mixon. Erickson, you've got Mixon over Cook. So why Mixon over Cook for you, Erickson?
Because I know Mixon's going to play on the Bengals, and that's a good offense. And I think that they're both guys that you're kind of hoping they score double-digit touchdowns. I think we've seen the last of them being efficient running backs, like a running style. Like a lot of the guys I have in this tier, whether it goes from Rashad White, Cam Akers, James Conner, Mixon, Cook, Pierce, are guys that I view as RB2s that are volume-based that I don't expect a lot of efficiency from. And it's really how far will the offense take them? Like how much volume can they handle? Like, and that's why they're all in the same tier for me, because I don't really think there's a big difference between a lot of them. Now I have them ranked in a certain order in preference, but ultimately I either want to be avoiding all these RB2s anyway and just getting my studs early on and then taking shots later in drafts, or getting whichever one guy the market deems I hate this guy the most, like Josh Jacobs was last year, and then just draft him in like the eighth or ninth round and be like, all right, that's my RB2. If the market says James Conner, we hate James Conner, I will take my RB2 and James Conner in round 8 or round 9 if that's where he falls. When people are drafting Dalvin Cook, Mixon in rounds 4 and 5 or what have you, that's the way I kind of view this tier.
There's another guy in this tier in ECR too, Damian Pierce, who's at 21. Now, Debro, you've got him ranked as an A. Erickson, you've got him ranked as a B, far closer to where the ECR is. So why so high on Damian Pierce when you have a rookie quarterback coming into a Texan situation that is, you know, certainly a tenuous one potentially in terms of what they're going to be offensively?
He was RB16 in expected fantasy points last year per game. Mm-hmm. I have him at RB16. This offense cannot look worse than it looked last year with Davis Mills. Like CJ Stroud, I don't think anybody is going to sit here and fight me on this, is a much better quarterback than Davis Mills, hands down. Even if you say CJ Stroud doesn't play, Case Keenum could still play quarterback better than Davis Mills. They have better weapons around him. I think the offensive line takes another step forward because they did have parts or pieces. And as much as Erickson's talked about with San Francisco guys coming over, this team is going to run the damn ball. And I'm not worried about Devin Singletary. Nobody should be worried about Devin Singletary because Devin Singletary hasn't been good in a very, very long time. So I don't think that he's going to steal work away from Damian Pierce, who, if you look at everything last year outside of the RB16 ranking and expected fantasy points, dude was top 12 in opportunity share, top 12 in evaded tackles. Now going into an offense where, again, I think they're going to be run heavy. Yeah, I look at Damian Pierce as a top 20 back.
What's the difference between Damian Pierce and Travis Etienne? Why do you have Etienne in a separate tier from Damian Pierce?
Hank is actually good at football and Devin Singletary is not.
Devin Singletary has been able to hold off multiple running backs and hold a starting role on a Bills offense for 3 years.
That doesn't make him good.
He's an established player. Tank Bigsby has not taken a single snap, and you're looking at him like, oh, well, he's going to be a major. Tank Bigsby's better than Devin Singletary. He hasn't even played in the NFL yet.
Put out a poll. Ask the people. Like, I don't think that's a hot take. Tank Bigsby is a better NFL player than Devin Singletary.
But I'm not asking you about the running backs behind
that. Well, you can't even say that, Derek. You could say he will be. That's fine. Will be is fair. You can't say he is because he hasn't played yet.
So you're basing Pierce over ETN because of their backups, not because of the players themselves.
No, I consider and tell you that I think Damian Pierce is just as talented as Travis Etienne.
Yeah, but the only difference is one's playing with Trevor Lawrence and the other one's playing with a rookie quarterback in CJ Stroud and doesn't have nearly the amount of weapons to make that offense really hum.
I just want to know why you have Pierce in a separate tier above Etienne. Like, I don't understand why. Like, why are they separate tiers?
Because I'm not worried about his volume, and I am worried about.
So that is a good counter. The volume for Damian Pierce, I think, is going to be there, especially because of the rookie quarterback. But again, volume is great. Quality volume is better. I don't know if Etienne gets the quality volume. I think he'll get volume too.
I'm worried about Etienne.
What? By how much? You don't think Etienne's going to get 200 carries?
Okay, so if he gets 200 carries, here's the downside case for Travis Etienne. Okay. If he doesn't get more pass game work like you're projecting, Erickson, if he gets the same similar target share that he got last year and he loses out on the red zone opportunities to Tank Bigsby, where is the ceiling and the floor coming for Travis Etienne? If he is an early down grinder in between the 20s, he doesn't get targets, he doesn't get touchdowns, Tell me where that ceiling comes from, because that can happen, because we saw him not get touchdowns last year.
Well, he's banking on it.
Bad in the red zone.
He's banking on it happening because
last year. All I'm saying is that can repeat.
His upside comes from the fact that he plays on a high-powered offense and that he's explosive. Two things that Damian Pierce is not. Not explosive, not on a good offense.
You're saying Damian Pierce is not explosive?
All right, let's get to some other
He doesn't have
players.
Long speed. He doesn't have long...
Let's get to some other
Damian Pierce has long speed? Wow. His 4.58 is very different, which is not that different from Devin Singletary's 40-yard dash.
Skip Shannon, everybody, you know, Stephen A., everybody, let's bring it back here. Let's get back here. Let's get to a couple other players I want to touch on real quick. Rashad Penny and Khalil Herbert. These are two of these you roll the dice on guys. They're in the F tier, I know, for you, D-Bro, in terms of where you have them, Erickson. They're both in your D tier. If you're looking in the D tier over on Fantasy Pros, the ECR, Swift, Montgomery, Javonte Williams, Alvin Kamara, Brian Robinson. Then you get Khalil Herbert, who I just mentioned, James Cook, A.J. Dillon, Jamal Williams. Then you get Rashad Penny and Damian Harris. That closes out the top 36. So that's basically the top 30 guys. So when you're going, you know, in terms of the ECR and your rankings here, Erickson, you're kind of looking, it feels like there's potential for, or more potential upside here for Rashad Penny and Khalil Herbert. Because if you look at the raw numbers of when these guys are healthy and on the field, they perform. So is that what you're kind of buying in? Are you drafting those guys?
Yeah, I believe in the talents with both players. I know that both players are efficient and good when they get opportunities. I just don't know. I don't know what the roles are going to be. Like, I don't think that anyone really knows. You know, the Bears is a three-headed backfield between Herbert, Foreman, and Roschon Johnson. Don't know who the best running back is. Don't know how the team is going to favor which guy. And then with Rashad Penny, it's, I think that just looking at the Eagles backfield right now, Rashad Penny is actually the best pure rusher on the team. But it's a matter of, does the team view it that way? And how many games is he actually going to play until he breaks down? Where, I mean, I could see Penny being like, yeah, you have him for a couple of weeks and he's productive and you start him and then he gets hurt and then you just move on. So that's the way I kind of view these players, that I'm probably more bullish right now on Rashad Penny, just because I do think that he is a better like running back as a rusher than DeAndre Swift is. Where Herbert, again, he doesn't have any draft capital tied to him at all. They seem to really like Roschon Johnson in more of a three down role. And even last year, as good as Herbert was, like the coaching staff still refused to give him a featured role. And they just kept like, I've got to keep feeding David Montgomery. And it's like, maybe the team just doesn't view Herbert in a bell cow style. And it's either going to be, it's going to be Herbert plus Roschon or Herbert plus Foreman. Either way, it's going to be Herbert alongside another running back and not Herbert alone in the backfield.
All right, we're running out of time here. So I want to talk about one more guy that is on Erickson's list, but not on D-Bro's, which I think might be sacrilege. It's a guy you've got in your C tier, Erickson, for goodness sake. And he is the RB38 overall. So he's not on the top 30 in Fantasy Pros. So in all fairness, but D-Bro, let's talk about this here. Alexander Mattison. It seems like it's not a question of if, it's a question of when Dalvin Cook is somewhere else. So when that happens, where does Mattison go? Because I think this is just your conservative rank. Am I correct? Until that news happens, because clearly the social media team in Minnesota is already putting logos of Alexander Mattison over on Twitter and everywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, right now, this is just me being conservative as far as Dalvin Cook is still on this roster. The other part of this, and I think Alexander Mattison's not very good as well. Like, I mean, I think that there is a possibility he can get beat out for this starting job. The contract they brought him back on was not fantastic. It's not like they paid him starter money. They paid him backup money. So the other part about this, if you look at Alexander Mattison's efficiency, every single season, his yards after contact per attempt has dropped. Every single season in Minnesota, his breakaway percentage has dropped. Every single season, his PFF elusive rating is dropped. Now we're talking like he's got, like, I'm not telling you the backfield competition is fantastic, but even assuming Dalvin moves on, I don't know if he's a definitive to hold that job.
Yeah, some interesting ADPs I see too in the FFPC on some of these names we're talking about. Tony Pollard, RB17, it looks like he's going, or ADP17 overall, pardon me, not RB17, my apologies. So I know Derek Brown almost had a stroke when I said that. He is going at ADP of 17. You have Nick Chubb at 17 also, which is a drink. Breece Hall at 24, Ramondre Stevenson at 25. some really fascinating RB values. And so these other guys we talked about, Damian Pierce, 55 is the ADP for him. Alexander Mattison, if you do think that, like Erickson does, that maybe, you know, Mattison takes over and doesn't have to be great, he just has to be in this offense, well, he's at 77. So if you want to take advantage of all of these ADPs, again, go over, get the early bird credits, sign up by June 1st, go to fantasypros.com/championship, use the promo code fantasypros to get your automatic $25 off your entry. And don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel too. We've got incredible short form, long form content over here on the YouTube channel, incredible arguments with my two best friends here, Andrew Erickson, Derek Brown. Again, we could do this all day, but I imagine the Discord will continue to do it there. So join fantasybros.com/chat to hear us continue to yell at each other all summer long, because it's fun and this is what you're here for. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For D-Bro and Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy duty rotisserie or rust resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.